Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
And wherever you are, go ahead and share tonight's episode with someone, with a friend. And if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
It's time to get on board. TMG is taking off.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Guys, real quick, you know how we like to do this. Before we get started, don't forget to share, subscribe, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, today's episode has had my mind buzzing all week long, and I could hardly contain myself getting here to this point. So I'm excited to share this episode. I know you're excited to hear it and to watch it. So wherever you are, and if this is your very first time tuning into the show, thank you so much for watching the show. And whether you are in Canada, maybe you're in Spain or Portugal or Mexico or Great Britain, or maybe you're in Germany or in France, wherever you are around the world listening to the show, watching the show, let me take this moment to tell you, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here, guys. If it's Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, TMG, we're streaming now, and I'm excited to be here. Guys, today's episode is going to be magnificent. Let me get some stuff out the way because I can't hardly wait, man. This is good. Now, if you've been watching this show long enough, you know that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com and say, Travis, listen, I know someone that has an inspiring story that'll be great for your audience. However, I don't want to come on a show. I'm a little camera shy. That's okay. Drop us that email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? You can even remain anonymous if you'd like. There you go, guys. I'm going to play some quick information, guys, from our sponsors. Once I do that, I'm going to come back and I'm going to bring our guest on the show because this is going to be good. Before I do that, though, if you look, take a look behind me, you will see that this month, the month of September, is National Suicide Prevention Month. I know a lot of people don't like to think about that, and you don't want to let that come across your mind, but whether you want to think about it or not, listen to this. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death right here in the United States. That's right. Right here in the United States, suicide is one of the leading causes of death here in the United States. And let me help you guys, just give you guys some numbers to kind of go by. Many adults think about suicide or have attempted suicide. As a matter of fact, in 2022, just 2 years ago, over 49,000 people died by suicide. That's average of one death every 11 minutes. So it's definitely a topic that needs to be, some discussion needs to be had about it, and some light needs to be brought onto it. That's 13.2 million people seriously thought about suicide. 3.8 million people made a plan, an actual plan for suicide, and 1.6 million people attempted it. If you feel that you need some help, please reach out to this helpline. I have it right there on your screen. You just dial from your cell phone 988. Again, that's 988. That's the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. The languages available are English and Spanish. It's a 24 hours available. Again, that number is 988. If you feel or you know someone who's in crisis and needs some help, please reach out. Guys, I'm going to put this information to my affiliate sponsors. Once I get that out the way, we're going to dive into this episode because I know you like me. You've been waiting. Come on in, guys. Let's get started. You haven't missed anything. We're just getting started. Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors, guys. If you need that information, again, it's right there below in the chat. There you go. And if you're listening to this, listen up for that information. You can hear it as well. Guys, today's episode, I have been waiting to get started with this, so I'm going to go ahead and jump into this, guys. If you did not catch the topic for today's episode, guys, topic, guys, it's called, you ready for it? Different vibrations. Yeah, different vibrations. When I think of something that's vibrating, I think of something that's shaking. I think of that something that's all shook up. I think of something that's going back and forth. I was born in 1969. So when I was born in 1969, we didn't have the benefit of having video games when we were kids. We didn't have all-day cartoon channels. We could go and watch cartoons. So you had to find ways to entertain yourself. And sometimes, well, for my generation, going outside was the best thing you could do to entertain yourself. I'm not kidding, man. You tell me you can't go outside, that's the worst thing. But you always had to find ways to entertain yourself. And sometimes finding those ways meant doing some of the simplest things. I'm kidding you not. So when I was a kid, and this is a funny, true story. When I was a kid, I would take a stick and hit these two metal poles that we had in our backyard. The sound they made was almost melodic. It was almost musical. I would get that stick and hit the poles and listen to the sounds vibrate. I did. I was a strange kid. I promise you I was. But I liked the sound that the vibrations made. And I would, as I would hit the poles, I would try to see if I could get both poles to make the same sound. Yeah, I told you I was a little weird. Sometimes I could. Now, sometimes I was successful in getting both of the poles to make the same sound. I would call that a win. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm celebrated. So I would try to get both poles to make the same sound. Now, sometimes I could, and there were other times I wasn't so successful at this. So sometimes it was kind of difficult to match the sounds that I was trying to make. And so what I would do when I couldn't match the sounds, it got so difficult, it got so frustrating, it got so hard for me to try to match the sounds, I would just throw my stick away and give up. I would just throw my stick away and give up. Guys, a vibration occurs when one object moves back and forth from its stationary position. Yeah, when one object goes back and forth from its position, it causes or creates a vibration. It can be said that relationships work the same until everyone in the relationship is making the same sound. There will always be more back and forth than harmony. Yeah, I know. That looks like some of our relationships right there. I know. Our guest, guys, our special guest is a relationship healer and a certified step family coach. She's here today, guys. We got here today to discuss some causes of being on different vibrations and, guys, and ways that the harmony can come back. Do me a favor, give a huge TMG welcome for Judy Graybill. What's up, Judy? How you doing?
I am doing great, Travis. It is great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Woo! We have Judy in the house, y'all. I'm excited to see you here, Judy. I enjoyed our conversations. Judy, you know what? This is going to be good.
I agree. I'm excited.
Man, Judy, I got to say this. First, I got to say thank you for coming to the show. Second, I want to say I appreciate you taking the time from your schedule to come on the show and speak with us. So, Judy, different vibrations, Judy. Different vibrations, Judy. You are a relationship healer, and I love what that was. You are a relationship healer. How long has this been a passion for you, Judy?
Well, thank you. And I also, before I forget, I do want to say that it is an honor to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me. But my passion, I would say it was a passion even before I started doing it as a career. My passion for it was probably for almost 2 decades, 18 years.
Wow. Wait a minute. 18 years?
Yes. And this is probably not going to surprise you or your audience. It came from personal experience. I mean, I think that's one of the ways, like, all big, huge passions, like, start, right?
Right, right. Wow, wow. Go ahead.
Well, so, yeah, I fell in love, right? And he had kids from a previous relationship. I grew up in a divorced family. Didn't think... You know, I knew it wasn't going to be easy. I thought I had a pretty good idea of what it was going to be because I grew up in a divorced household. Right. But yet, I still felt blindsided by the quality and quantity of the arguments and intensity that it was. And this is actually not an uncommon thought. Feeling at all. I hear right. this from a lot of step parents.
Wow. Wow.
And so eventually we got a counselor to help us, but because I didn't understand step family dynamics, I didn't look for that in our counselor. I didn't look for that as a qualification, and she wasn't able to help us. Friends and family weren't able to help us either. Because I grew up in a divorced household, my family was like, oh, well, just leave. Well, I didn't want to leave because I was still in love.
Right.
And when we weren't arguing, I mean, things were really good. When it was just the two of us, it felt like our honeymoon. So it was right. always a good time. And then when I didn't want to leave, the advice was, well, just put up with it then. So there's were my options, put up and shut up or leave. I didn't like either of those options.
Neither one of those sound good, Judy.
Right. And nobody does. And so that's why I feel so passionate is I want to offer a third option. Let's stay and figure this out, right?
Right,
I spent a
right.
lot of time trying to figure it out, which is so when I found the Step Family Foundation, becoming certified was like a no-brainer because here's my opportunity right. to figure it out. And so now I can help other people. And it was so this I found the Step Family Foundation at the end of my relationship. So it was too late for me. And I just want to say too, that it ended amicably because we talked it out. We, as much as we could, we just didn't have resolutions. And so we made the tough decision to leave, to separate.
Absolutely.
But it was still hard. It was heartbreaking. I was heartbroken. And I had a lot of anger and resentment. And what I want to help people do is to not go through that experience.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're absolutely right, Judy. You're absolutely right. A lot of the passions that we have come from the toughest moments in our lives. You find individuals who become advocates for different causes, whether it be cancer or something, and 9 out of 10, either someone they love or close to either died because of cancer or died of something. And we build right. a passion behind that, and we get this new renewed vigor to make sure that no one else, you know, falls victim to this, and no one else feels like this, and no one else goes through this. You made a great choice because sometimes we go through different things, Judy, and in relationships, and we shut down and say, you know what? I'm not dealing with anybody else. I don't want to deal with it. And yet we're still alive. You're still alive. You are still capable of being loved, and you're still capable of loving and having a loving and caring relationship. Don't allow that one relationship or that experience, or how many experiences it was, but don't allow those experiences to rob you of this part of your life that you can have and you can enjoy.
You said a mouthful. I mean, because you're right. A lot of people do shut their hearts down. And to be honest, I did for a time also, and it took me a while to open my heart back up again.
Right. I can understand.
It's hard.
Absolutely. You know, you we'll get into it. But you go through those different dynamics, and it messes with you emotionally and mentally, and you have to work past those things just like you would anything else. If it was, if you got laid off on your job, you work past that mentally and you get another job. And let's say, you know, you totaled your car out. You work past that and you get another car. So you do the same things. You know, a relationship is not a car, but you still have to do the work to get to where you want to go. Vibrations. And I think, Judy, a lot of times, we enter into relationships, or we are in relationships, and they do look like this. They're just going back and forth. There's nothing there that's stable. There's nothing there that's constant. The only constant thing, Judy, is the back and forth.
Right.
And if you're watching now or listening, and if the only thing with your relationship is the back and forth, that's because you're vibrating, you're moving at different places. You got to get that harmony down. As a relationship healer, let's dive into what you do. As a relationship healer at times, is it, and I got to ask this, because when you're in a relationship, you're talking about, you know, different people, you know, different genders. And when you come in, you know, you're bringing everything with that person. That's everything. You're bringing their whole past. You're bringing who they are at that moment. You're bringing their past relationships. You're bringing their future hopes, their future dreams, if they have any, if they're making any plans for the future. As a relationship healer, at times, is it more difficult to work with each individual in a relationship, or is it better to work with everyone together? Just kind of throw everybody in a pot. So let's all talk.
That is such a great question. And the answer may be surprising for some, because on one hand, your initial thought might be, let's get everybody to work together. And yes, ideally, I love it when a couple comes to me together and they're both on board. They both want the same thing. They're both invested. And they're willing to do anything that it takes. And I love that. And I know that if both people are working on themselves and the relationship, which is a lot, it's a lot of work, as you've already explained, then I can get faster results because they're both working on it. But one of the biggest challenges is that because everybody's unique, not everybody is changing at the same rate as everybody else. And a lot of people, believe it or not, think that it's all my partner's issues. It's not mine. And sometimes, too many times actually, they're not willing to work on it. They don't think they're the problem. And so in those cases, it is difficult to actually work with both couples. And then I end up working with the one that wants to do the work, and that person can still get results. It's slower,
right.
And it can happen, but that's, so whether it's easy or not, it might be just different. It just depends on that couple.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm glad you brought that out, Judy. As humans, it's always somebody else's fault. It is not our fault. It is not my fault that we are arguing because I left the toothpaste top off the toothpaste. No, it's not my fault. not mine.
It takes courage to look at ourselves. It takes it's a lot of courage to be boldly honest with ourselves and how we contribute to situations. And because we don't recognize, I mean, we have good intentions. And even when you have good intentions, you can still do things that's going to rub the other person the wrong way.
I like what you said, Judy. We don't like to, sometimes it's difficult. It does take courage to admit our contribution to something that's not working. Because you know why? Here's what I look at, Judy, is this. When we get in a relationship, we come in under the premise that we're the best thing for that other person. I'm the best thing for you. You struck it rich when you got me. However, when a person, when they're digging for gold, Judy, when they're digging for gold, before they can say, yell, Eureka, I got gold, they're going to first go through some rocks and some boulder and some dust and some other kind of rocks that look like gold. So we come in with the premise that they struck gold. But there are other things in us as well. Before they get to the gold, they got to get through the rocks the last person left with us. They got to get through the dust from the last relationship. They got to get through the sand. They got to get through all this stuff. Yeah, we may be the best thing in their lives, but we have to be willing, as you said, to look at our contribution to this as well. When they panning gold out, have you ever seen them shows? They got dirt and they panning it out for the gold. Everything but gold falls through the filter. In our lives, we get in a relationship, everything gets shaken up. We have to be willing to let ourselves get shaken up enough to admit, you know what? That wasn't very pretty. That wasn't gold enough. You know, that wasn't gold mark in my life. And we have to be able to say, no, I did contribute to that. You know, when relationships break up, Judy, I find out when relationships break up, what do? It's the other person's fault. Yeah, I was still a victim, but it was their fault. It was there. And I like how you led with your relationship and your experience and said, hey, look, we just could not come to an agreement. We just could not come to have those answers there. And I said, we broke apart amicably. And I like the fact you said, you know, there was contributions on both sides. Both sides. So that's what I was looking for. And I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because we don't want to admit it.
Right. No, we don't like to admit it. But you're right. Like when your analogy, you know, we get all shaken up, and sometimes we have to get shaken up in order for us to be like, what's wrong? I mean,
yeah.
It would be great if we all were proactive, but honestly, we don't know what we don't know. So until we go through it, we don't know that we need something else. We don't know that we need more resources or more information. We think we know.
Yeah,
we know.
We do, Judy. We believe that we are the relationship experts. Now here's the thing that gets me, Judy. All of us, every human, every person in a family or whatever. Here it is. We were born in this world. We're born as individuals in this world. Our first test at a relationship is with our siblings and our parents.
All right.
That's our very first test at a relationship is with your siblings, if you have any, and your parents. There are no rules for a relationship. We have no rules. We weren't born with relationship rules embedded in our minds. We learn our relationship rules from culture, society, everything. And now with being social media, we learn our relationship from social media. So we take our relationship cues from society, from our social cues all around us. And then when it goes wrong, shooting, we stop. We don't try anything different than what we've been using. And what we've been using, everything that we've been using, Judy, you know what it's done? It's made our relationships look just like this.
Right.
Everything we've been using looks like this.
Right. And that's exactly why a lot of people, like your analogy in the beginning about hitting the poles, you know, sometimes you're like, I'm done. I'm putting the pole down. I'm not doing it anymore. Right. I mean, we do that. And a lot of people, unfortunately.
Yeah, we had this stick we're going to use, and we just get frustrated and we stop using what we have.
Right, but the other thing you said was brilliant, because our first relationship experiences is with our siblings and our parents, right? We learned so much from our parents and our siblings and that interaction, and those shape us in so many profound ways.
Absolutely.
And I mean, like, I could do like a whole episode just on that.
You're right. They do. We watch the dynamics. We watch the interactions between other siblings. Let's say you're the last child born. You're the last sibling born. You're going to watch the interaction between the older one and the middle one. You're going to watch the or maybe just two. Maybe it's just you and the older one. You're going to watch that dynamics in the interaction between the older child and the parents. You're going to watch that conversation and say what you want. You're going to pick up those cues. You're going to use those skills in every relationship you get into, whether it's your best friend down the street when you're playing in a sandbox or in the swing set, or whether it's your coworker at work, you're asking them, can you borrow the pen? You're going to use those same relationship
yes.
skills that you learned.
Yes, and I am the last born. I am the youngest of my family, so it's so funny that you said that. Right, and then if our parents divorced too, like mine, you know,
yep.
like, I didn't have a model of what was healthy.
Judy, say that again. Say that part again, that last part.
So because my parents were divorced, I did not have a model of what was healthy. So I really didn't know.
Man, we cannot underestimate a healthy model in front of us. A healthy
right.
model. When we're talking about different vibrations, you cannot underestimate the importance of having a healthy model. And let me go ahead and say this, Judy. I want to exonerate some people. I do. I want to exonerate some people. Right now, Judy, there are people that are watching. There are people that are listening that feel like they'll never be in a healthy relationship, that feel like they're the only reason their relationship will ever be wrong. I'm going to exonerate you. I'm going to exonerate all of our listeners. Let me tell you something. You never had a healthy model in front of you. Don't put yourself down. Don't beat yourself down. Don't you stop living. Don't you stop trying. Don't you stop giving. Don't you stop giving of your heart and of yourself. You never had a healthy model in front of you. It is not your fault. You could only do what you could do. I want to exonerate every person that's listening right now that thought they will always be in a toxic relationship, that thought something was wrong with you. It's not wrong with you. You never had a model in front of you.
Right. I felt that. I felt that, Travis. I felt that when you said that.
Well, good. I mean it, dude. I mean that.
And you're right, because, you know, even, and I want to say this, and this is important, a lot of people, even if their parents are still intact and they're in a first family, mm-hmm. so many of them are in stable, dysfunctional relationships. Many of those are actually not healthy. They stay together for the kids. They stay together because they're afraid of leaving. They're afraid. They stay together. A lot of it's, I'm sorry, it's a hard, sad truth, but a lot of them are unhealthy and they stay together for the wrong reasons. Even if you're in a family in which your parents are still together, that doesn't mean 100% that you're going to be in a healthy relationship. It doesn't mean that you learned how to have a healthy relationship. And if you never saw your parents argue, then you don't know how to resolve arguments either. So, I mean, there's so many different factors there.
Facts. You know what? if you've never seen your parents work through a tough issue, like you were saying, when you get a tough issue, you won't know what to do. You'll
right.
reach for everything else, but you never had a model to show you. We can have a tough issue, but at the end of the day, We're still on the same team. We're still heading in the same direction. I heard someone say this. My mentor say this today. He said, it is okay to disagree with the how. You may not agree with how it's going to get done, but you must agree on where you're going. You both must be going in the same direction. Yes. It's okay to have different opinions of how it should be done. It's okay. But we all, at the end of the day, say, look, there's a store we go into. Now, you might want to take this route. I might want to take that route. But the destination.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Location is that store. Let's come together and figure this out, because if we don't go to the store, we won't have groceries, and we're going to be sitting here looking like we're crazy, hungry, stomach growling, and the store is still waiting on us.
That's so true. The shared vision of what you want is so important, and I talk about that too.
It is. You got to share that vision. You got to have that vision out there. And it might help, Judy. It might help. I don't know if you do this with your practice or with individuals. Do you have people sometimes to write down that shared vision on a piece of paper, put it up somewhere so they can see it every day?
Yes. Actually, my first step with all my clients now is to set intentions. And so I actually write it out for them. I also have a process in which we create a mission statement, which some people do. So, but which is a huge process, but that is always the first step.
See, I told you this is going to be some good stuff today, man. I told you. And it helps. It helps, Judy. My wife and I, we in our bedroom, we have a mission statement and a vision here. And we will pass by every day. We look at it every day. There are things that we have done, accomplished, and we check it off, and we still look at it, and we add to it, and we still do that because it helps bring unity to us. It helps to unify us, helps to unify our thoughts. And if we ever disagree on the how, we always look at it and say, well, but this is what we really want to do. So let's see. If we don't know the answer, let's see, can we find some more resources so we can get the answer? Because we're trying to place, there's a place we got to go to. We know we're going here. So if I don't have the answer, she doesn't have the answer, let's see, can we find someone who does have this answer, who can add a different perspective to it? Because we know we headed this direction. There's no doubt we're going this way.
Right. And one of the other things that I encourage my clients to do is experiment. I talk about that a lot. When you right. don't know the how, or you disagree on the how, and a lot of people will get stuck on that because they've tried so many things that didn't work. They're very wary on trying a new thing because they're already thinking that it might not work. And I'm like, well, just experiment. You just have to try it. I mean, like that whole mindset shift is huge for some people. So experiment with new things. It's okay if it don't work. Because if you're just experimenting, then you're not really feeling. You're right. Just buying something that don't work. Or maybe it's faster. Like maybe you go to the store this way one day and next time you take a different route. You know, like, because you don't know which is going to be faster. Maybe one is longer, but it's more scenic or it's more enjoyable. You know, I mean, there's so many other factors, and just experiment. That's my thing. One of my things.
Man, listen, Judy, I'm down with that. My wife and I, you know, I will say this all the time. Try something different. Don't be afraid to do something different. If you, like you said, if you're doing something different, you're not failing. You're just finding what doesn't work. That's all right. You're doing. Well, we know that doesn't work. We're still headed to the store. Let's go this another route. And I like what you said about maybe one route is more scenic. And you know, find that level ground. Well, yeah, I'm not really fond of this route, but you know what? I do like going this way because I do like seeing the trees. I do like seeing the, you know, the scenery here. I do enjoy that. Find that ground so that harmony can get in there, and so that you can start saying, you know what? Yeah, it's not as bad as I thought you were. We're talking about relationships and people coming into relationships. We're talking about how, whether it be a blended family, or whether a man and wife, or whatever it is, but relationships not only consist of those who are involved, you know, whether it be a family, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, all those people, and also we talked about how it involves the person, individual's past, their present, and any possible future that they make, because some people just don't plan for a future or want one, but we also know this, whenever people are involved, it also consists of personalities. Different personalities come along in that relationship, Judy. I got to ask you this, because I got to find out what you got to say about this one. What, because there's so many different types of personalities, what are some ways in which you help navigate these different vibrations or personalities to kind of get everyone in the same vibe or the same vibration here?
Yeah, another excellent question. And my first question would be, it partly depends on if those other personalities are an ex or if it's the kids or just you. So like if it is an ex-spouse, then mostly it's through boundaries. You have to have healthy boundaries. And sadly, if you're arguing a lot with your ex, I don't want to say resolve those, because depending on what those issues are, you might not be able to resolve those. But finding, like, just having healthy boundaries is probably the biggest thing. So, like, if it's navigating an ex-spouse or parenting or rules, then that's its own thing. If different personalities is with the kids, then you want to look at, like, what do the kids need? Like, what you look at values. Do they need a reward system? Sometimes it's a punishment system, but it's not always, because some parents have a hard time punishing. And so then you look at positive reinforcement or a reward system. Sometimes you just, the family mission statement. But like when it comes to the kids, if the two adults can get on the same team and agree on some key things, then that's paramount. And that's a key thing that I help couples with, is to get on the same team. So like I have a whole system of how we do that. And it is looking at where are the different personalities, looking at where people get stuck and why they get stuck, and really listening to the other person, trusting the other person. But it's really like talking it out, experimenting. And I have a whole team model, which I'd like to offer people as a freebie on my website if they want that. It's a one-page reference guide. On team is like an acronym for trust, experiment, empower or educate. A, ask for help, and meet in the middle. So that's something they can get on my website.
Woohoo! I like that, and I'll have that information up so they can see it. I definitely will, Judy. So man, those different vibrations, those different personalities, man, they can vibrate at any time. You know, it doesn't take very much to set them off and get them going. The face of the family, with everything has changed so much, but the face of a family is just ever changing. It doesn't look the same. It's not like it was when I was coming up, not like it was when you was coming up. The face of the family dynamics has changed with so much of now being changing in our culture and our society. As a matter of fact, the U.S. Census Bureau, I kid you not, the U.S. Census Bureau tracks that about 16% of all children, 16% of all children right here in the U.S. live in a blended family. Now, let me give you a perspective, a number of kind of draw you in on what that means. That's like 11 million kids. 11, not adults, kids, 11 million children live in blended, what you call blended families. And blended families, you come from a divorced family, or maybe a spouse died. Doesn't necessarily mean the divorce. Someone died, they remarried, and now they bring in their children with them, or they had no children, and now that you have children, for a person, and think about this, someone who's never had children before in their life, Judy, never had children. Let's say their spouse dies. That person remarries. And when they marry someone who already has children. That person who's never had children in their life is now in a blended family, and their first introduction to a child is someone else's. Their first introduction is somebody else's teenage child.
Yeah, that's partly my story, because I don't have children of my own when I entered that relationship. So trying to learn how to be a parent, and it's not even just parenting skills per se. It is like really knowing what kind of challenges kids face and how do you solve those?
Exactly, because you're like, I've never done this before. I don't know. I don't know what to say to you. Because you're trying to navigate their emotions and navigate your spouse's emotions. You're trying to keep everybody happy. At the same time, you're trying to balance, should you even say anything at all? Should I even address this issue?
Right. Saying something or not saying something, that is like its whole issue that like comes up over and over and over again in my coaching sessions. Because it's hard to say something about somebody else's kids,
yes.
Especially when you care about the kids and you think it's important, and your spouse is like, it's not. I've been there, done that. It's not important. And actually, that feels personal, because it's like, it's hard to convince a step parent that, like, or even a parent, actually both of them, that it feels personal. But because the parent often thinks to themselves, my partner is telling me that I don't know how to be a parent.
Yes.
And that's what they're saying at all. And then the step parent is feeling like, well, I have something important to say. Why can't they notice that, you know, it's not about whether I'm good at being a parent. I'm just noticing something that they're not noticing. And can't you even recognize that I care? So each person, it feels personal, but it's not.
Yeah. It feels like a personal attack. Like you're attacking me. And we internalize the information they're providing us, and we feel attacked. We feel backed into a corner, and you back people into a corner. What's it going to do? They're coming out fighting. They're coming out ready to fight.
Right. And I want to backtrack for just a moment with your statistic that you mentioned, because I want to add the caveat, like just another monkey wrench. When we add cohabitation rates in there, and not marriages, that number, that percentage actually goes up. Because we don't actually have an exact, the census doesn't have an exact count on exactly how many are just cohabitating. And if it's a single parent who's dating, those stepfamily dynamics are already starting, even though they're technically not a blended family yet. But those dynamics are already starting. So those numbers you listed, they're actually higher. So I just
way higher. Like, way higher. They when I was researching the information, this U.S. Census Bureau said this is just an estimation.
Right.
So there's no way to even calculate exactly. So that is a huge, huge number of Judy. Now I know you what have you seen to be some of the greatest challenges though with blended families to get everyone vibrating the same?
Yes, and I can put a whole episode just on these, on the causes themselves, right? But I'll try to narrow it down. I do have a free mini ebook that talks about the five biggest factors. One is the age of the children. If the children are young, like eight and younger, it's a really easy transition. They haven't started school yet. They haven't separating from their are moving their homes and their kids. It's an easier transition. So the age, nine or above, is going to be more challenging. The polarity of parenting styles. If you grew up in an authoritarian household and you're about discipline and it's got to be a certain way, and your spouse is like, you know, especially if the biological parent is a little bit more permissive and they're not into rules, but you are, that's like going to be, that's one of the biggest things right there. There's a lot of conflict with the ex-spouse, because conflict with the ex-spouse bleeds into your current relationship. Like, as we discussed earlier, you're married to everybody. You're married to the past. There's those custody exchanges. So they're still there. They're still involved.
Absolutely.
So like if you're arguing with them, then, and you don't have healthy boundaries, that's going to bleed into your relationship. And then if either parent has an unhealthy over-attachment to the child, any of the kids, that creates more of a we-them scenario, which you have anyway. Because you have the step-parent who doesn't have any of those shared memories of those earlier years.
Exactly.
So they don't have all those pictures, all those family traditions, all of those memories. You don't have those. So there's already this separation and isolation where the step-parent has this natural feeling of being excluded.
Correct,
because they were excluded from all those. But now if you have an over-attachment to one of the kids, that kind of amplifies that we versus them. And it's really hard for a step-parent to break through that. And then if it's an unhealthy attachment, the parent doesn't always realize that they're being resistant. They don't know how to include the other parent. It's like, because it's just been him and Johnny for all this time.
That's right.
And now I just don't know how to add another person. I don't know where to fit it in, because I'm used to doing all these things with my kids. I'm not used to doing it with another person. And the parent doesn't know what the step-parent wants to be involved in. Like we were talking about the step-parent without kids of their own. So if it's a step-parent that's not all that maternal, then the biological parent thinks they don't want to be involved. So that it's like it's a whole big thing. There's so many ways that shows up. So many.
Yeah, you got someone who has no clue of what it's like to be a parent, not very maternal. They don't even have a pet. They don't have a pet, right? They don't have a pet to practice on, and you will give them a live human being. yeah, good luck with it. Like, oh, wait a minute. No. And they're not. And you, they said, well, they're hands off. You don't really want to get. No, they don't know what they're doing. They're right. Trying. They're doing the best they do. We talked about earlier not having a model. They don't have a model. They don't know.
Right. It's not that they don't want to. They just don't know how. And they're afraid of doing the wrong thing. Or they're just going to naturally miss things that seem obvious to the parent.
Correct. It's like, my grandmother, my grandmother used to have these really nice china dishes. And during the holidays, we would bring out the fine china. And so one holiday, I'm asking my grandmother, I said, Big Mom, can I help you set the table? And she said, if you break one of these plates, it is over for you. And that's what it's like when someone who's not very maternal or who's a step parent, you're afraid you're going to break something.
Yeah.
You handle it too cautiously. You miss certain things because you're afraid you're going to break the bond between that parent and that child, or you're going to break the bond between, or you're going to interrupt whatever memory.
Or you're afraid
prior
the kids are not going
to
like you.
Oh, yeah, you're afraid. Absolutely.
You don't. Yeah. I mean, we want to be liked by the kids. So that creates a whole nother thing, because sometimes step parents overcompensate for that. Sometimes they try too hard and the kids are not ready for that. They're like, no, I don't want a parent. I already have two parents. I don't want another one. And then sometimes then they're like, oh, okay, I'll back off. And then, you know, it's a balance. It's hard.
It is a hard balance between those, but it can be done. It can be done. It really can. I think one of the questions our audience would like to know, though, is this. Is can there ever be a place where everyone will see things eye to eye or vibrating on the same?
Yes. And this I feel very passionate about, because I think a lot of people don't know this or understand this. And as I shared in my story, like, I ended up leaving because, like, my two options were to put up and shut up or to leave. And no, I offer that third option. When we change ourselves, when we are introspective, when mm-hmm. we show up differently, the people around us react to us differently.
Come on. Absolutely.
And absolutely. So we have to put in the time, though. We can't just try it once, because a lot of times we want to try it once. I tried it. They didn't respond the way I wanted. I'm done. It didn't work. But it takes time, because it also depends on how long they've been doing it. So, correct. Like, unfortunately, a lot of times we were talking about being shook up, and you have to be shaken up a lot before they come to me. Well, couples, when they come to me, when they hire me, they're at the end. They've been doing it a long time. They're ready to give up. So, like, to reverse those patterns, it takes time. So you cannot expect it to just happen quickly.
That's right. Man, listen, Judy, and that's what we do. We and a lot of times, Judy, we try it so we can say we tried it, because we want to leave anyhow. Because we want to go anyway. We want
to
be done.
We want to be over.
Yeah, we want to be over.
We just want peace. We want harmony, and we don't even know. Yep. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but that is a big question. Should I stay or should I go? Because people don't know. It's like, do I just need to keep doing this a little bit longer? And sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes you're not, you're missing something. So sometimes you keep trying a lot of new things that aren't working, but you don't understand, like, this key thing that's really going wrong underneath the surface. So sometimes you do have to stop and just observe and learn, which is why my second step with clients is to identify what the actual problem is.
Correct.
So a lot of people stay in that should I stay or should I go too long, because they're like, I've been trying for so long. I've been doing this for so long. I've done so many different things that, like, I think I've tried everything. So they really don't know. They really think that they've tried everything and nothing's worked. And that's a lot of the times when people come to me. So, like, yes, it can be done. You just have to. But like the other reality is when we're talking about different vibrations, there are times where that the vibration is not going to mesh.
Correct.
There are times when people realize that they've changed in a way that they're not going to vibrate together.
Correct.
And so, but even in those situations, if you're talking it out, then you can do it amicably. You have conversations, ongoing conversations, where both people get what is that shared vision? What is the vision of my spouse? What is my vision? What do I really want?
Exactly.
And then maybe they realize that they no longer have that shared vision. So, but and then it can be amicable, even if it's different. But you're going to not be in that limbo anymore. You're not going to be in that stuck state of should I stay or should I go. You're going to know.
And you hit it. You hit it. You drop a nugget right then, Judah. You said it could be amicable, even if it is different.
Yeah.
It can be amicable even if it is different. Judy, quick question. Can anyone reach out to you, or do you just have a specific clients you reach? Can anyone reach out to you if they want to speak with you about their relationship, or maybe they have a blended family situation and they need some assistance navigating its dynamics? Can anyone reach out to you? Do you offer virtual service, because they're here in the States or around the world?
Well, thank you for asking that. And yes, anyone, you don't have to be in a blended family. You don't have to be in a remarriage to reach out to me, because a lot of these relationship dynamics, they're not exclusive to blended families. So any relationship issue, even if it's an in-law, even if it's a parent or a sibling, you can still reach out to me. I do virtual. In fact, most of my clients are virtual, whether it's in another state, another country. And also, I do offer free consultations, because sometimes people need to really understand that I can help them, or like we have to be a fit on. There are some issues that I am not able to help with because I have my skill set. Like addictions, I don't help with. If somebody has like a trauma, I don't heal, I don't diagnose. So like those things I cannot help with.
Right.
But so reach out to me and we'll schedule a time to talk for free, so we both know if I can help you and how I can help you.
Awesome. And there's her website right there, guys. JudyGrayBill.com. I'm going to do this one quick. Also, Judy, this is here. Here we go. It's your website, right?
It's yes. That
there
is
you go.
Me.
So this is Judy's website, guys. You can go up here. Here's free stuff that she's talking about. Things here. She also has a podcast interview. There you go. Her teams. So great. Her ebook, the five biggest risk factors for conflict in a blended family. My gosh, that's important. Good grief. If you don't go to her website for anything else, this right here should be her biggest draw.
Right. And I also talk about like what to do about it.
Right.
I mean, it's brief. It's a brief read. But like if you're having conflict and you go to that, Like, you're at the very least, you'll be like, oh, it's not me. Because a lot of times people think, like, is there something wrong with me?
Yep.
Maybe it's just me. Yeah, no, it's not you.
I love this. Finally, the secret to finding harmony in a blended family. And here it is. We're talking about harmony as well. Now, I promise you guys, I did not make that up because of our website. I kid you not. So that's pretty cool. And there's a website. And I know you mentioned, here it is right here, guys. The mini ebook, 5 Biggest Risk Factors for Conflict and Blended Families. There you go right there. I'm going to also put this in the chat so you can get that right there as well. So we want Judy to be able to help all of us. So, Judy, I know we could go on and off, but I don't want to keep you there. But I got to say this, though. I am glad that you came by and that you shared what you shared with us because it helped all of us, including me. And you shared such great information today. We are all happy that you have. I like to ask this of all my guests. What is something that you could say to someone or a family right now to encourage them who may be feeling or seem that they're not vibrating very well?
I love this question because a lot of people look outside themselves for stuff. And I know it's too easy to say get a mentor, but like, no, actually, the biggest thing for people is to know who you are. Know what you stand for. Know your values. Be strong in who you are. And like when you know in your being that you're worth it, that you're important, and you're meant to have something harmonious and good, just learn how to shine. Be who you are in the core of your being. Who do Absolutely. You want to be? When you dig deep, when you show up, then you can look yourself in the eye every night and I'm okay. You're not those circumstances. You are Exactly. not that conflict. You are not what people said about you. You're none of those things. Know who you are. And that was the biggest thing that helped me pull myself through.
Man, I love that. You talking my language, Judy. You are not the conflict that you came out of. Woo! That's a whole other episode, Judy. I'm not going to go there. Guys, thank you so much, Judy, for joining us. Guys, let me say this. If your family or relationship dynamics look like this, they look like this. Family gatherings look this way, relationships with families and friends. If your relationships look like this, keep in mind, a vibration occurs when something goes back and forth. Many times when we think of relationships, some of us think of a lot of the back and forth, as you see here, that occurs. All of this means is that moment, at that moment, you're not vibrating the same. It doesn't mean you have to stop using what you've got. Don't throw your stick away. Doesn't mean you have to stop using what you've got. Doesn't mean you have to stop living, stop being who you are. Doesn't mean you have to stop challenging your life and pursuing to be something different. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean you need to quit and give up on life. Doesn't mean to quit and give up on relationships. Doesn't mean you have to stop using what you've got. We may need to make adjustments on how we use it, though. That's all. We just need to make adjustments on how the way we use it. You don't have to wear matching clothes. That doesn't get you on the same vibration. You don't have to wear matching clothes, but you will need to match the direction you are going. There you go. Guys, listen. It's about that time. And as always, guys, I want to give a huge thanks to our very special guest, Judy Graybill, for being here today. Guys, listen, each week, every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, you can listen to the show or you can stream it on your favorite platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, and so many more. I know you want us to stay here, but we got to get out of here. We got to go. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Tune in next week for another great episode. Guys, as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go. Peace.
Thank you.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.